It's a blessing. Turn, if you would, tonight to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the music we've enjoyed today. It's been a blessing to me, and I trust it's been a blessing to others. And just thank you for the truths that we can sing about and the way that it can encourage us. God, I pray that you would help us now as we look into your word, that you'd use it to speak to our hearts tonight, that it would be a help. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we began looking in chapter 13, and we spent our time there in verse number 1, where the writer said, "Let brotherly love continue." And the basic idea of this statement, or the basic idea of the verse, was this, is that you need to be kind, you need to be gracious to one another, to those around you, especially to those who would be a part of the family of God. And I said last week that you would think, and some may assume, that that would just come natural as a result of being a part of the family of God. But we know that to not be the case. We are reminded on a regular basis that people have different personalities, they have different perspectives, they have different backgrounds. There are so many different things that can influence the way that we treat one another. And we have to remember that we are called as believers to be kind, to be gracious to others, even when they are different than us, maybe even sometimes when they're getting on our nerves. It's just what we're supposed to do. It is an effort. There is an effort required on our part, but it is an effort that is worth it. Amen. It is an effort that is worth it because of the benefits that we receive from being a part of the family of God. So that being said, tonight we're going to move on. And as I said last week, it is somewhat difficult to know where to start, where to stop, how much to try to cover, how much to deal with. And so I don't know if we're going to get out early tonight. I said last week we were going to get out early, and we didn't. And so I'm not making any promises this evening. We're just going to go till we're done, and then we'll be finished. All right? And so with that being said, tonight I want to share just a quick story with you that illustrates an issue that all of us deal with, that we all understand. Doesn't mean it's wrong. It's just something that we all deal with, and it's something that we all struggle with from time to time. How many of you would say that you're somewhat like me, that maybe you don't mind mowing a yard, but it's not necessarily your favorite thing to do? Would some of you say something to that effect? Okay, it's not that you mind it, but it's not like you just say to yourself, "Hurry up and grow grass, I want to mow you." You know, it's not anything you get excited about. It's just something you know that needs to be done. All right, so a couple of weeks ago, the McCrackens were going to be in town, and I knew they'd be at our house. And because the grass had grown some, I wanted the house to look a little bit more presentable by way of its appearance. And so I got out there before they arrived real quick, and I mowed the yard. But I didn't have time to do the edging, to do all the weed eating that was necessary, to blow off everything that needed to be blown off. And so the yard was still kind of tacky, and the yard didn't look real nice and real manicured. It was one of those things where you said, "Oh, well, I've done everything that I can do. We've now run out of time." So that being said, in the last couple of weeks since they've been here, you know that we've had some rain, we've had some sunny days, and you know that the grass has continued to grow, right? Okay, so as the grass has continued to grow in the front yard, I've kept it better manicured so that people driving by would not think we were trashy people. But in the backyard, guess what? I've not touched it until last night. I had not touched it for the last 2 weeks. And so where it had not been edged, where it had not been weed-eated and things of that nature, it was pretty bad and all that other stuff. And so here is what happened. It's not that I did not know it didn't need to be done, but I had neglected it because there were other things that, in my opinion, were of a higher priority that needed more attention than my backyard. You understand what I'm talking about right now, don't you? That I had to prioritize, and there were certain things that I needed to get done, that I wanted to get done, and the yard was not high on my list, and so I neglected it for a couple of more weeks. And yesterday, I had to force myself to do what I know needed to be done. So let me ask you something. Have you ever neglected anything on purpose? Of course you have. It's just whether it be the yard or whether it be something else, it's just like I mentioned, it's not really your favorite thing to do. Maybe it's not what you just get excited about. And so you just kind of put it off and you justify it here and you have excuses for it here and whatever it may be. And there are times that you only do that particular item, that particular project, because you know, okay, it just needs to be done. I cannot put this off any longer. That's the way we operate, and that's the way we function sometimes. Things get pushed to the back burner. It's low priority. We intentionally neglect it. So that being said tonight, I want us to look in verse number 2. With that principle in mind, I want us to look at verse number 2. And here is what the writer says. He says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers." Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Now, whenever he uses this word forgetful, I know that many of us would think something of the idea of something that has slipped our mind, or because of the simplicity of the word, we would say something like this: it's something we have just forgotten to do. And that does happen, does it not? There are times that things slip our minds and we just forget to do certain things, right? Okay. So we've all had things slip our minds. We've all forgotten certain things. And while that is certainly a part of the word forgetful, or to be forgetful, it also means this: to neglect. All right? So it does not just mean that it slips the mind, that it's something we have forgotten. It would also mean this: that we have neglected to do certain things that we know needs to be done. So it would be just like me with the yard, or you with whatever project you might have. It's not that you did not remember it. It's not that you were not aware of it, that you were not familiar with it. But for whatever reason, you have neglected to do what needs to be done. So what did the writer say? To not be forgetful or neglectful of, or to not neglect. He said this: to entertain strangers. To entertain strangers. Now, I don't know what you think of when you think of the word entertain, but let me explain very quickly to those who may not know this word or what it may mean in this context. It means this: to be hospitable toward people. Do not be forgetful, or be not neglectful to entertain or to be hospitable to strangers. So we're going to deal with this in segments or in pieces, and so let's think about this. The writer said, do not forget, or be not neglectful, or be not forgetful, do not neglect hospitality. Hospitality. Bringing people in, ministering to them, serving them, trying to be a blessing to them. Do not neglect this. Now, I want to ask you something. I've asked this and I've brought this to our attention, I know, many, many times over the years. But why would this statement need to be made? For this reason: there were people, no doubt, who were forgetful to entertain strangers. They neglected this subject of hospitality. It was something that some were not doing the way they needed to be doing. So the writer reminds them and the writer encourages them, don't forget to be hospitable. Don't neglect this area of ministering and serving to others, being hospitable. So I can tell this is exciting and we're getting all ramped up about this. So I'm going to ask us a question tonight, okay? It's a simple question. Don't be confused by the simplicity of it. It's an idea that I know I've alluded to before, but that's okay. The question is this: is how long have people been people? About as long as people have been around, right? Okay, that's how long people have been people. So if you think about this, that people have been people as long as people have been around, here is what you and I would have to assume, and here is what you and I would have to probably agree upon if we were honest. that for some people, hospitality probably came a little bit more naturally for some than it did for others. That some that just seemed to be something that came a little bit more natural. It seemed to be something that came a little bit more easy to certain people. And maybe for others, showing this hospitality was something that was a little bit of a challenge or a little bit of a difficulty. And it wasn't something that they got real excited and worked up about. Kind of like me mowing a yard. It's kind of like, I know I need to be hospitable, but, okay? See, 2,000 years ago, when people were still people back then, just like they are now, there were probably some people that were reading this letter, reading, do not be or be not forgetful to entertain strangers. And there were probably some people who knew exactly what that meant. Don't neglect this idea of hospitality. And there were probably some people going, oh, man. I don't like being hospitable. We don't have to be this silent, okay? We can enjoy the atmosphere a little bit, okay? Can you imagine some people reading these words and just immediately saying to themselves, oh, I don't like doing this. I don't enjoy this. This is not what comes natural to me. This is not what comes natural to me and my spouse. This is just not what we like to do. We don't like to entertain people. I know. But did the writers say, hey guys, if this comes natural, would y'all consider entertaining folks? Or did he just say, in general, to everyone across the board as believers, hey, don't neglect this. That's who he said it to. It was just in general, across the board. He didn't identify a certain audience or a certain group of people. He just said, be not forgetful. Do not neglect to entertain strangers or to show hospitality. I want to ask you, since people are people and they've always been people, do you think it's safe to say that some of them had their excuses as to why they didn't entertain? Yeah. In case we're wondering, yes. They had their excuses for why they didn't entertain folks. Can you imagine what some of their excuses would have been? Well, I'm just going to throw some out and let's just see if this is possible. Do you think any of them 2,000 years ago said something like this? Well, we would entertain more, but we've got a lot going on right now with the family. Do you think it's possible? Listen, I'm going to preach the whole sermon no matter what, so you might as well answer the question. Do you think it's possible that they said to themselves, you know, we would entertain more, but we've just got so much going on right now. This is really a busy time of year. You know, I mean, we've got to get the crop out, or we've got to get the seeds out. We've got to get that field plowed, and we've got to get that done. We've got to get this taken care of, and now it's harvest season, and, you know, the kids have got this going on, and there's so much activity. Can you imagine for a moment that it's possible that some may have said something to the effect, we are busy right now. See, the writer didn't say, hey, listen, when things slow down, try to be hospitable. He just said, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Hey, don't neglect this. Can you imagine if to be possible that somebody may have said something like this? We really don't have the room to entertain people. We don't have the room. You know, if our house was bigger, yeah, we'd probably entertain more people. But, you know, we don't really have the room. So, yeah, we're just not going to entertain folks. You say, well, Brother Kyle, why would you think that would ever have been an excuse 2,000 years ago? Because it's an excuse you hear people say today. You know, we just don't have the room for it. We just don't, you know, we can't have very many people over. And you know, because we don't have a big house, we're not ever going to have anybody over. See, the writer didn't say, now listen, if your house meets a certain criteria by way of square feet, you are responsible for being hospitable to strangers. That's not what the writer said. He just said, don't neglect entertaining strangers. Don't neglect this idea of hospitality. Listen, it doesn't matter what size house it is. You need to be hospitable. Maybe someone said something like this. We really don't have the resources to be having people over. Because that takes money, you know. You know, so if we start having people over, we're going to have to like cook supper for them, or we're going to have to feed them, we're going to have to make sure they have everything they need. And you know, we're just not made out of money, brother. Well, first of all, the writer did not say, hey, listen, when you're hospitable, you got to feed everybody steak and shrimp and, you know, break out all the expensive stuff. That's not what was ever said, right? He never even said, hey, listen, if you're going to be hospitable, you can't ask them to, like, help out a little bit. Right? He did not say, hey, listen, in order to be hospitable, you got to break the bank on this effort to entertain people and to minister to them and to serve them. And so one by one, we kind of see, if we're honest, that the excuses that are so prevalent, even in today's society, they really aren't excuses that stand. Well, you know, we're just so busy. Well, that one doesn't work. You still need to entertain strangers. And you know, we just don't have a very large house. Well, that one doesn't cut it either. Well, you know, it just costs a lot. Well, that doesn't cut it either. And you know, what if somebody said something like this? Because you hear this one sometimes. Well, we're just not very good conversationalists. And, you know, we have people over, and so I don't even know what I'd say to them. You know, I get all nervous, and I start getting these red splotches on my neck, and I think, oh, goodness, I don't know what to say. We're just not very good conversationalists. And I just want to remind us again tonight, that's a lie. Which is nothing more than an excuse. Because every one of us have things that we are more than comfortable to talk about. But if we're not much in that, you know, entertaining thing, then we can use the excuse that, well, we're not much of a conversationalist. Or people might say something like this. Well, we would do it, but nobody wants to come to our house anyways. Who would want to come to our house? Well, you know, it's kind of like this. You'll never know if you never ask. Amen. You know, you'd have to ask somebody in order to know if they'd be willing to come. So here's the writer writing to believers, and he does not say, now, if you really enjoy entertaining, if this really comes natural for you, if this is easy for you, now I'd like to throw something out here for you to consider. Don't neglect this. Now, again, I want this to be understood that it's just a blanket statement presented to all believers. Hey, be not forgetful. Don't neglect this. You need to be hospitable. So tonight, we're going to take just a moment for pastoral confession. I don't enjoy mowing my yard. It's not something that I get all excited about. I'm not saying grow grass, grow so that I can cut you. You remember that, right? That's not what I'm all excited about. But last night, I mowed the yard. I edged it. Nathan blew off the sidewalks for me. Can I just be honest and tell you, our yard looks really nice right now. Call it bragging or whatever. We've got a beautiful backyard for at least 24 hours. Now, I want to share something with you, my attitude and my spirit sometimes when it comes to hospitality. There are times that the idea of opening up our house to entertain people sounds about as thrilling as going out and mowing my yard. To be honest, sometimes I would rather mow my yard than to open my house to people. I'm just being honest with you, and if you can't identify with this, You're an amazing individual, okay? There are just times I don't want to have people over. And you know what I can do? I can pull any number of excuses off the list and I can use them to justify it. It's been busy. Money's tight. We're going to have to feed everybody. Okay. But whenever I do it, and I do it with the right attitude, and I do it with the right spirit because I know it needs to be done, you know what's amazing? I always enjoy the finished product. I wasn't looking forward to it. I'm asking Susie, why did we invite so many people over? She's saying, babe, you're the one who did it. Don't blame me. And I'm thinking to myself, well, that was really dumb. I just wanted to come home and take my shoes off and relax after a Sunday evening and not have to talk anymore. And yet everybody starts showing up and everybody starts having a good time. And then it's like whenever everyone is gone, I say to Susie, man, that was good. We need to do that more often. And she's thinking, I've seen your schizophrenic approach to life sometimes. Yeah, one minute you're saying this, the next minute you're acting this way, and then all of a sudden you're glad we did it. Now listen, I'm just saying, some of you can probably identify with that struggle, can you not? Now what I'm saying to all of us tonight is this, is we cannot afford to neglect something like entertaining strangers or being hospitable. Now, what I've said to this point, I don't know about you, but I told Susie tonight before church, I said, okay, I'm already convicted by this sermon. Because I know it's been months since we've opened our home to anyone. And I've had all the excuses that I've mentioned to you tonight. I've had every reason why I couldn't, you know, why it couldn't happen. And so I told Susie, I'm already convicted. But then the writer took it a step further that, frankly, I don't appreciate. Because he said this, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. What is a stranger? Well, a stranger is someone that you did not know well or you did not know at all. See, their culture was far different than ours back then, right? Okay, the scholars say that, you know, some 2,000 years ago, you didn't have the Marriott Corporation along with the Hilton Corporation, along with the Motel 6 chains and things of that nature, right? Hotels, motels, and inns, those were not prevalent in their day. Where they were present, it is suggested that many times they were not a real good atmosphere or environment for the traveler, and usually they would have been very expensive to take advantage of the one who was doing the traveling. And so as you read through the scripture, especially in the Old Testament, what do you see examples of? You see examples of people taking in complete strangers just to be hospitable to them, to help them out. Now think about this. Most of us struggle to be hospitable to people we have known for years. Think about for just a moment what it would be like to try to be hospitable to someone you don't even know, but the Lord said, hey, you need to reach out to them. I think that's where many of us would wrestle in our minds with God for quite some time. I know I would. And see, part of the reason that I would struggle with it, and I've already been transparent with my own struggles, and I've already confessed some of mine, so now I'm going to pick on Susie for just a moment, because I think that some of you could identify with what would happen if I just brought home a stranger. Hello? Think about this. 2,000 years ago, Bob could not call his wife and say, hey, babe, I'm in town. There's somebody passing through with their family of 6 kids, and they have no place to stay tonight, so I'm bringing them home. Okay, can you imagine what it would have been like 2,000 years ago? Bob showed up at home with his wife, who probably had their kids or whatever it may have been. Hey, I've got, you know, Mr. and Mrs. and all their kids. They're staying with us tonight. Can I just share with you what would happen if I did that at our house? Babe, can I talk to you real quick? Hi, y'all. We'll be right there. Just 1 minute. Now, if I went into the, you know, the privacy of wherever I was about to get chewed out, okay, I would hear something like this. Babe, the house is a mess. Right? We can't be hospitable. You've got papers all over the table between the chairs. Because that's where all of our papers are collected, is on the table between my chairs. Y'all would never know that because we're not ever spontaneously hospitable. That's what our desk is for in my room or in our room, where the thing rolls down and you hide all of it, okay? See, if I came to the house and I had not called and told Susie that I was bringing a family in to stay the night with us, I would hear something like this: babe, the house is a mess. I'd say, no, it's not, babe. It's fine. We're good. Hey, listen, they know what it's like to live in a house. It'll be okay. No. You don't do that to me, babe. We've got cell phones these days. You better communicate that kind of stuff, right? What are we going to feed them? Well, I don't know. What are we having? Not enough for that family of six you decided to bring in. Babe, we're just trying to be hospitable. Well, maybe you should have told me about this. I didn't have time to clean the sheets. The kids' bathroom is a mess. Can you understand what all the excuses could be? Now, if your wife is nothing like Susie, lady, if you're like, hey, I don't care, let them come in and see us in our raw habitat, that's good for you. But I'm just saying, it wouldn't go over well for me to bring a stranger home, because it doesn't go over well if I bring somebody over sometimes unannounced that we do know. Now, do you see what I'm trying to communicate? This whole idea of hospitality is a little bit more difficult than we like to pretend it is. We don't mind bringing in our best friend who has seen us at our worst state. We don't mind bringing in certain family members who know what we're really like and how we really live. And we don't mind, you know, having them in because, hey, take it or leave it. I don't care what you do. You can leave if you don't like the way we run things around here. But when it really comes to true hospitality and entertaining, and even entertaining people we don't know well, if we're honest, we struggle with it. And many times we just flat out fail in that regard. See, there is a need for you and I to be hospitable. Now, I want to say just a couple of things, not because everyone needs to hear this, but I want to say it so that nobody can take my statements out of context and, you know, paint me to be some weirdo, all right? I want to make this clear. The Scripture does not say how often we have to be hospitable. Okay, so it's not like we have this little checklist that says, okay, once a quarter we have to be hospitable. It's as the Spirit would lead and as the Spirit would move and guide us to be hospitable, but we need to be hospitable. This does not mean that we go down to the local hotels each week and say, hey, listen, is there anybody here that we could save them some money? We'd like to house them at our place. People would be like, dude, you're weird. No. I'd rather pay money than to go sleep at some stranger's house. That's not what I'm saying. Okay, what I'm saying is this, is we have to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We have to be mindful of how we could reach out to people. And when the Holy Spirit says, this is someone that you need to open your home to, this is someone that you need to give something toward them, this is someone that you need to minister to, this is someone that you need to be a blessing to, then when the Spirit of God speaks, we do not have a legitimate leg to stand on by way of an excuse at that point. It doesn't matter how dirty our house is. It doesn't matter what size our house is. It doesn't matter anything that is going on by way of our schedule. If the Holy Spirit speaks and says, it's time for you to do this, you need to take care of this, you need to be hospitable, regardless of who it is, then it is up to us to be hospitable. Because if we're not hospitable, you know what we run the risk of? We run the risk of missing out on an amazing blessing. See, if you notice in verse number 2, he said this, be not forgetful, don't neglect this idea of entertaining strangers. He said, for thereby, in this act of entertaining strangers, being hospitable to folks that you don't even know, he said, for thereby some have entertained angels or messengers of God unawares. Somebody says, what in the world does that mean? Okay, let's read that again. For thereby some have entertained or been hospitable to angels, messengers of God, and you didn't even know it. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. Well, then take it up with the writer of Hebrews. What he is saying is this, listen, some of you who have actually been hospitable, some of you who have actually reached out and ministered and blessed and tried to be a help to someone who was a stranger in your life, listen, what you did is this, is you ministered to an angel of God, and if they had not been sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, they would have missed out on the opportunity to be that blessing. Now, I want to make this very clear. Just because we're nice to someone who we didn't know doesn't mean we just ministered to an angel. He said some have, but he didn't say this is how it works every time. So you and I don't get to be nice to some stranger, be hospitable, and then pat ourselves on the back saying, yeah, I just entertained an angel. We don't know what we've done. But if we've been obedient, we've done exactly what we were supposed to do, whether it was an angel or not. But it's possible that if we're not hospitable, if we're not willing to entertain angels or entertain strangers, that we could miss out by not entertaining or being hospitable to an angel for whatever reason God might send our way. Now you say, oh, that just sounds crazy. I don't know how else to bring this to you. The scripture says angel, messenger of God, so that's what we're going to take it as. Amen. So tonight I'm going to ask you just a couple of questions. Simple questions. Questions I prefer not to answer tonight, but I'm going to ask them anyway, and Susie and I have to answer them just like everyone else does. So I'm going to ask us tonight, when was the last time we opened our home to someone other than our immediate family? When was the last time we opened our home to someone else? I would suggest that if you can't remember the last time, it's probably been too long. Now, if you're sitting here and you say, man, I have a fantastic memory. It was back in 2013. Okay, that's kind of missing the point, right? Oh, good, I can remember, so I'm okay. No, I'm saying if it's like, oh, man, I can't remember. Was that in March or in April that we had somebody over? It's probably too long. Why is that too long? Because we really do need the fellowship one with another. Well, they always have everybody else over. Well, maybe they have everybody else over because no one else ever does it. I'll go ahead and amen that one. Amen. When was the last time we had our home open and we were the ones who were hospitable to folks? When was the last time that happened? So now I ask this question. Can we remember the last time we were hospitable to someone that we didn't even know? And I don't mean that we brought them in and we slept them in our homes and we fed them, but can we remember the last time we were truly hospitable to that stranger that we'd never met before? I'm not saying you can't, I'm just saying, can we remember? It doesn't always involve an overnight stay. Okay, but can we remember when we were hospitable, when we reached out, when we blessed, when we ministered to that complete stranger? If we can't, I'd like us to then consider this question. And again, it's not in an accusatory fashion, because I'm convicted by this legitimately and honestly. If I can't remember the last time I did, what does that say about me? What does that say about me and my spirit? When was the last time I said, you know what, we're going to try to be a blessing to someone else. We're going to try to minister to them. We're going to try to be a help to them, whatever it may be. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put aside all the excuses that I could use right now to justify it. If I can't remember the last time that that happened, if I can't remember the last time that I opened my home, if I can't remember the last time that I put everything that I was doing aside so that I could try to help someone, even a stranger, then I've got to answer this question. What does that say what does that say about me? Probably says more about me than I care to admit. Would you agree? It's okay if you say, yeah, it probably says more about you than you care to admit, because it's a struggle of mine. And I'm just saying, it may not be your favorite thing to do. You may say, Brother Kyle, I'd rather go home tonight and mow my yard twice before having people over. I get it. But what does that say about us? I'm just saying, the Scripture says, don't neglect this. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Because if you neglect this, it might be you who misses out on the blessing. So think about it. Is there room for more hospitality in your heart and in your life toward others? And if there is room for more hospitality, act upon it and don't just assume that somebody else will do it. All right? So I'll stand tonight and bow our heads for prayer. Father, as I come to you this evening, I pray that you'd help us to be men and women, maybe even young people in here tonight, who would take serious this challenge to be more hospitable, to entertain folks, and to even entertain the stranger, the one that we don't know at all or the one we don't know well, to just go out of our way to try to be a help, to try to be a blessing, to try to minister to them. God, I pray that you'd help us to never assume that it's someone else's responsibility, that we would remember that it's ours as much as anyone else's. I pray that you'd help us tonight to improve upon this where we need to. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As Lauren plays, you've got time to pray.